are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy New Year. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, with News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. It's been a while since we last spoke. Yeah, there were some major tech issues the last Locked On Spurs. That was originally supposed to go up on New Year's Eve, but woo, had some problems and went up on New Year's Day. And that was the last time that we spoke right here on Locked On Spurs. And yeah, a lot to talk about, a lot of losses to talk about on this episode. And yeah, we'll be looking back at the Spurs loss to the Jazz. Or, I mean, it was just, loss is probably seeing it slightly, maybe thumping, crushing, destruction. It was a bad loss. Look, every team goes through this, but is that something we're going to expect more from this very young Spurs team as the season goes on? We're going to be diving into what happened against the Jazz. And also, taking a look at the Spurs' four-game losing streak. You're at that right. Four-game skid. What is going on? Why are they losing? And again, does it circle back to this is should not be a surprise to anybody? To do that and more, I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Casey, you know, this is, I guess, technically the first Lockdown Spurs of the new year. So happy new year, Casey.
Likewise, sir. Likewise. Yeah. Hopefully 2021 brings us more of the same memories you and I have created. One of the positives of 2020 was, getting to hang out and do this show a lot more with you. So hopefully 2021 brings more of the same. Hopefully I don't annoy you. And yeah, you want Ty Yeager to be your regular backhand, back pocket guy.
It's all win. All you guys are doing a bang up job here, Locked On Spurs. And by the way, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On, and get yourself 20% off your next order. So Casey, the Spurs, we got hammered. I mean, and not post New Year's Eve, got hammered in a good way, had a good time bringing in the New Year's Eve. I'm talking about not a good hammer. This is an absolute crushing by the Utah Jazz, that seemingly, were making shots with their eyes closed, over the head, anything they threw up went in. Let's start off and get your thoughts. What happened last night to the Spurs against the Utah Jazz?
The Spurs played against a team that was significantly better than them, and as a result, said team that is significantly better than them exposed the lesser team on many of fronts. And I think the big thing for me that was very much discouraging, and you're talking about the threes, and it just felt like they were raining on infinitely. And it felt like every time you looked, it was just transition numbers the other way, right? It's like off a deflection, up 3-on-2 the other way, easy two. Off a deflection, 3-on-2 the other way, pull up three. It was just felt like there was infinitely just going on for 2.5 hours. I think the thing that's concerning about it, the fact that, of course, when a team shoots over 50% from three like they did yesterday, the Jazz 21-41, is that there was never really kind of a feel like a sense of, I guess, assertiveness, so to speak, right, or any kind of adjustment. And I think with something like that, that's just something that you credit to the youth, to the young guys. It's going to be more difficult for these younger dudes to adapt systematically when things aren't going their way, when things are hitting the fan. And they're going to be more susceptible when the ball is starting to, when things are starting to snowball and go against them. It's less likely a majority of the time with these young teams that they're going to stop it, contrary to some of the more experienced teams that have been there, said, done that stuff before, know how to stop the bleeding. These young Spurs, they do not. And still right now, they're very, for as exciting little flashes that we saw in the first week or so, I mean, a lot of people were anticipating nights like last night, struggles like last night. And that's what we saw, and probably we'll see on several more occasions throughout the season with this Spurs team. Yeah.
I guess the Jazz were just one 3-pointer off, I think, their season record. I remember just franchise record, because they have of 3-point makes. It was just raining threes on San Antonio. And what got me, Casey, is that okay, fine. There's a point in a game where you as a player on that court saying, you know what, that other team is just knocking down threes. Let me move them off the line. Right. You know, a two-made shot is better than a three-point shot. Look at my analytical skills there, Casey.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's something as basic as that. Run them off that three-point line. They just were not doing that. And again, the perimeter defense continues to be an issue with this team. That's been an issue since last season, Casey.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I didn't, and I guess I should probably bite my tongue because it's still early and their best perimeter defender, arguably, and Derek White hasn't played.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that.
And you have some news on that, right? About White.
I don't have any particular news. I saw the news that came out yesterday that he's not going to be back
right,
for a
yeah,
little
that,
while.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he re-injured the same toe that he had surgery on.
The same toe.
And prior to recording, you and I don't mean to get you off your track here, but I think it bears some talk.
I do that to you all the time, so don't worry about it. Yeah.
That those foot toe injuries are something to be kind of careful with. Just quickly, if you could explain what you meant, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not an MD. Far
You're
from
not?
It. But I'm not, believe it or not, I am not a physician. Who would have thought? But it just seems like in basketball, when a lot of the big guys, what are their downfall? Feet, the issues, feet, toes, foot injuries, they don't go away. Running backs, football, turf toe, plantar fasciitis. It was some of the most unpredictable injuries in sports in terms of a timeline. No pun intended. You take one step forward, you take two steps back. Just from stubbing your toe awkwardly, like kind of sounded was the case with Derek whenever it did happen over the past couple of weeks. And it's cautionary in that regard to know that it is a foot thing, a toe thing like that, because there's not really like a real set timetable you can put on it. And it's scary. It's scary in that regard, because we talk so much about him and pumping him up in the off season and what he and then the money being a steal. And, you know, me especially, I'm big on the Derek White train. But I'll be the first to tell you right now, foot injuries, toe injuries, not a good sign, especially when there's one, the most recent one is already a setback. Yeah.
And that lends to perhaps a reason why this Spurs team is still struggling on the perimeter defense, why it is one of the better perimeter defenders they have on the team. Murray, I think I'd put him up there. But you lose a guy like that who is considered the heart and soul of the team, that guy lays it on the line on the defensive end. You lose him for an indefinite amount of period ahead of us. You're going to see nights like this. But, you know, against that Jazz team there, it just felt like there was no pop in their step. There was no spark. I mean, from the get-go, and I've said this to you before, and it showed itself again, very slow starts to games, Casey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there needs to kind of, and it goes back to that experience thing. And I feel like that, you know, we say this so much that it's almost kind of become the easy answer, but that's what it is. That's what it is so much that with this youth stuff, with the young guys and adjusting and adapting to these kind of situations. And I think as the season will go on, you'll see a lot of this stuff kind of transition a little bit. But if those shots aren't falling to begin to start the day, there's got to be ways that you can kind of even that out, even the odds a little bit. And
in one way is being competitive,
struggling offensively
and being competitive. Yeah.
Right. And mind you here, Jeff, I mean, like this team largely for the most part has played pretty well. They played pretty well. They've been pretty competitive.
Yeah. I actually expected a loss like this to the Jazz against one of the games against the Lakers. Yeah, I thought this was going loss would have happened earlier. But
exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, let's not make it sound. No. You're good. I mean, let's not make it sound like the sky's falling here because they have been competitive in five out of their six games, which pretty much is kind of what we expected, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us. We're expecting where they're at right now with this Spurs team. But it's one thing to say you expect it especially from the Spurs standpoint, Spurs fandom standpoint, because they're not used to something like this. It's one thing to see on paper and be like, oh, okay, 2-4, all right, through first six, 4-12 through the first 16, you know, but they're going to go out and they're going to compete. They're going to hustle. It'll be stuff like that. But then actually when they have one of those games like they had last night, it's like all of a sudden the sky is falling. But we knew this was going to happen. We knew this was going to happen. We knew there was going to be situations like this that they were going to be put in where they were just mismatched, where they're going to be in situations that a lot of these young guys, they're not going to be adept to fixing, which, again, is what we saw last night, not being able to dig out of that hole and keep pace with a really good basketball team. And I think that's, again, I mean, this is what we're going to see this year, man. I mean, this is what this Spurs team is right now.
And in that loss to the Jazz, there was still ways for the Spurs team to fight back. We saw a little fight in them in the first half, and they chopped it down to maybe under double digits, definitely, you know, 10 for sure. But the Spurs, what was frustrating with me is that aside from a lack of effort, and we'll hear from Pop in a few seconds about that, but the Jazz, they had 20 turnovers. Spurs had 7. So there's your window of opportunity right there, young Spurs team. You have a chance to go out and, you know, capitalize on those costly mistakes by Utah. They did not. I think, you know, you have what? Spurs had 9 points off turnovers. That's it. That's it.
I would love to see, and mind you, I haven't taken a fuller, closer look to how each of said possessions went in transition, but to kind of use a hockey reference analogy here, I wonder what a majority of those shots looked like when they were on the power play. You know what I mean? In those 3-on-2, 2-on-3 situations, because a couple times we saw in the preseason, DeJounte looked. There were a few moments where he had the same kind of thing, that advantage going the other direction, and like a 3-on-2, and he went right to the basket and right into a double team.
And are you pulling your hair out as much as I am when he does that? I mean, every time I see that, I'm like, what are you doing, DeJounte? You're surrounded by 3 guys and you're going at the rim.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You just hit a nerve there with me.
I don't know what's worse, that or Lonnie Walker not dunking the basketball. I don't know.
Yeah.
One of the two. But it's, you know, those numbers are concerning, man. And that 19 turnovers, 9 points off it, but you got to execute. I mean, that's an execution. Yeah.
Well, let's hear from,
that'll come with time.
Yeah, let's hear from Popovich about the loss versus the Utah Jazz.
I think we were as physical or aggressive as we needed to be, just contact wise. I think they got away from us that way. We started out pretty flat, but they made a lot of threes tonight, and we didn't finish in the paint. I think we were 27 for 60 something in the paint. We had opportunities, and you know, they didn't go. If you're not going to get a three, you got to finish at the rim, and we didn't do that very well, so we got in a hole. But overall, we got to play a little more consistently in a physical manner, a little bit too soft.
Pop went to the soft card already early in the season. Pop called the team soft, and
I mean, when you give up a buck 30 on your home floor, I mean, they sure as hell weren't stiff.
But I mean,
Pop, soft. Yeah.
But Popovich definitely hit it on the nail. We've been talking about you know slow starts. What did he say? You know, got off on a bad foot. You know, the 3-point shot. You know, they weren't taking that away. You know, they weren't being aggressive, and you know, you're right, Casey. You can't help but to say this is a young Spurs team. And you could pretty much say that for every loss this season. That's going to be the theme of this entire season. At the end of the day, when the 2021 season is over, it's going to be described as the season of development. And that's what it is.
Right.
Exactly.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going to queue up in the next audio clip. I'll let you take it here.
But that's going to have to be the rationale. Like you said, throughout the entire season, and it's not, certain things do depend situationally as to why you can credit it towards the youth or associate struggles, what it may be to the youth in that regard, but that's what it is. I mean, they can't go out there and really do a whole lot if a rookie in Devin Vassell ends up getting lit up in his minutes on the floor against a guy like Donovan Mitchell, a top 15 player in the league. I mean, what do you expect?
Right, exactly.
I mean, this stuff is going to happen. Lonnie Walker is known to be brutally inconsistent. Lonnie Walker is going to have nights where it just is not happening.
Yeah.
It's just not happening. Really, and when he's not right, and the apologist, I'm not necessarily apologizing for Lonnie, but more so kind of setting the expectation, is that this is what they are.
Yeah.
And I think we will get a better idea. Well, not I think, I know we'll get a better idea of what they are at the end of the season. But now, I mean, we're all just pretty much resigned to the fact that this is it. This is it. What you're seeing is what you're getting, at least in the immediacy right now. And all the blunders and that come along with the cool little highs and Keldon Johnson posters, which, by the way, was a pretty good one last night. But that's what it is. You know, that's what it is, man. That's this team. They are what they are.
Spurs lose to the Jazz 130-109 in San Antonio. It was the last home game before they go on a murderer's row of teams on the road. Doesn't get any easier. We'll talk about that in just a second. Keldon Johnson, again, somebody we'll talk about shortly as well, led the team with 22 points, 10 for 16 shooting, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, by the way, which surprises me for a guy who attacks the rim as much as he does, only goes to the free throw line twice. I guess that comes with the territory being a young team. You know, you got to earn it, as they say. Trey Lyles led the team in rebounding with 9. And DeJounte Murray led the team with assists and 5. And speaking of assists, you know, when Jakob Poeltl is your leading assist guy to start the game and end the quarter, that's not a good sign, Casey.
Was that the case?
That was the case. Go back and look at that first quarter box.
I did not have that in front of me last night watching the game. had I known, maybe I perhaps would have been more vocal about that.
Yeah.
DeJounte was bad last night, man.
Yeah, that
that's
was
another thing.
I think we can give him a little bit of slack to see, because he definitely had a great start. He's having a great start to the season.
Right. Yeah, 5 good, 1 bad. Law of averages, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But again, hey, you know, here's another thing, though, with that, though. I think the thing with, because everyone's going to have, LeBron has bad nights. You know what I mean? Everyone has bad nights, but the difference with DeJounte, I think, this year is that when he has those rough showings like he did last night, especially ones against good teams, not let a bad night turn to like an awful night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because all-stars very rarely have truly awful nights. And last night, I mean, he was awful. 1 of 13 from the field, 4 points. I don't even think he had 5. What do you have, like 3 rebounds? I know he only had 5 assists. Yeah. He was bad. But
you're talking about DeJounte, right?
DeJounte.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you said Lonnie. My mistake.
No. I might have. I don't know. DeJounte is what I was going for.
Okay.
That's kind of the thing. What separates it here is, like, if you're gonna be like an all-star caliber player, those nights, the bad nights, are not awful nights.
Yeah,
it's still productive. You know what I mean? And last night, largely, that wasn't him.
Circling back to Jakob Poeltl and the assist, for a good chunk of the first quarter, he was the leading assist guy. But when that first quarter ended, he had 3, tying him with DeMar DeRozan and Trey Lyles. Listen to who he's grouped in with at the end of the first quarter. DeMar DeRozan and Trey Lyles. So you definitely did not see the Spurs guys that should be distributing the ball doing what they need to do. Where was DeJounte? Where was Lonnie had 0 assist at the end of the first quarter. DeJounte had 0 assist at the end of the first. Patty Mills had 0. So that's not a good sign. And they got to get that going. And yes, you're going to say, hey, you didn't have Derek. But they've been kind of having life without Derek for a little while now, Casey. And
I think it's going to be it. I mean, it's going to be at least the next... how long is this road trip? 4 games?
Yeah.
5 games?
And then there's the 5 COVID games. Guidelines where he ain't on that plane. He has to get tested all over again. I think that's what it says. Mm-hmm. And that's going to delay any type of reunion with White and the Spurs on the road. So I would expect not to see Derek on this road trip. I think Pop said
he
didn't say his stamp 100%. He said he thinks that he's not. So I mean, maybe things will change. Maybe they'll make him go through the COVID procedures to have him on the road trip. But I don't think they'll do that, considering he had to walk everywhere on that busted toe. So they might keep him in San Antonio. But this loss to the Jazz, and they got smacked up left and right. I just hope they learn from this. I just hope they do that, because you, at least against the Lakers and the losses to the Lakers, at least there were being some sort of competitiveness fire in them. In this game, you didn't see anything out of them.
No.
The only one you saw have some sort of competitive fire was Keldon and DeMar. I'll give DeMar that. But that's it. Not even your veterans, Rudy Gay, Patty Mills. You would think that, though, this is one of the games where I think the veterans should step up. Say, okay, guys, kids, you still need to learn. All right, Rudy, Patty, DeMar, get out there and show them how it's done. Just some sort of competitive fire. I know Rudy hasn't been having a great start to the season, but just nevertheless, it was just a bad game. But Casey, we've hinted at it. Spurs fans should not be surprised if there's another 30-plus blowout where the Spurs are on the wrong side of the scoreboard moving forward.
That is accurate. This won't be the only time that they've had ugly nights. That is correct.
Well, when the Spurs gave up 30-plus points in each and every quarter to the Jazz, again, defense still remains an issue, which you got to ask, no Derek White. Okay, I get it. And then there's this, and it kind of ties into one guy, LaMarcus Aldridge. He has not been with the Spurs for some time now. And the Spurs in the last four games, Casey, have been out-rebounded, and they're 0-4, obviously, in those last four games.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have any defense. You don't have three-point defense, and you're getting outworked on the glass. That's just a bad mix, Casey.
Jesus. Sounds like the remedy of a playoff team, right?
Right, yeah.
That's what it takes. What do you want me to add to that? What do you want me to add to that?
I don't think there's anything you can't add to that at all. So we're just gonna let Lonnie Walker. How about
defense.
This?
Yeah,
yeah. We're gonna let we'll let Lonnie Walker talk about what happened against the Jazz again. Spurs. Ugh. They got thumped. So let's hear what Lonnie has to say.
Offensively and defensively, we gotta make our the people that we're defending more uncomfortable. We're only five games into the season, so I'm not too really worried about how the team is going. I think we're doing pretty well. Keldon's starting to step up and be Keldon Johnson. DeMar still being DeMar. We just, as a team, have to, pick it up and stay at it.
He brings up something that I talked to you before we hit record for this episode. That I'm starting to see the Spurs are almost, not yet. I know it's, six games in. I think that's what Lonnie meant, six, not five. But relying too much on Keldon, DeMar, maybe to a degree, DeJounte. This is a team that everybody needs to be ready to go. Mm-hmm. And at least through six games, you can't rely on Keldon to be your spark plug every single game. I think he's young enough to do it, but somebody else needs
Right. And Keldon at some point is going to hit a wall here. Keldon's not going to do what he's doing the entire season. I mean, and to no fault of his own, the kid's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Let's kind of pace ourselves here with our Keldon. I mean, we all love him. Dude's been spectacular, but like you said, and it's not, you're not going to be able to bank on him for night to night. Same for DeMar. Not going to be able to bank on him night to night.
Mm.
Like you said, I mean, that's where other guys they have to step up and fill the void on those evenings. And last night certainly wasn't one of them. No.
No, absolutely not. Once again, the Spurs drop a game to the Utah Jazz, 130-109. They moved to 2-4 on the season, and they got some team called the Clippers next on Tuesday night. Likely could be staring at 2-5 in a 5-game losing streak. Hopefully the Spurs will rally, and this young team will get a wake up call. But something tells me that just be competitive in the next game, young Spurs. Just be competitive. Casey, final thoughts on the loss to the Jazz?
Oh, it was bad.
There you go. There's your final thought right there.
Yeah, that's the insight you're looking for. It was bad, but it's part of the process. Nights like last night, part of the process.
Well, speaking of that process is, losing. And that's what the Spurs, at least this very young team, are going to have to go through, losing to get better. So we're going to take a look at what is going on in the last four games. Why are they losing? Is it something that is simple as competitive edge? Is it something on the stat sheet? We're going to look at what's going on in the last four games. But before we do that, let's talk about Bet Online. Look, playoff picture. The NFL is wrapped. It's taking shape. Cowboys are not in it, Casey. And I know you don't care, but Cowboys missed it. So,
yeah. I mean, my Raiders missed it too.
So, oh, okay. Well,
you know, such is life.
All right. Well, if you want to have some fun with the NFL playoffs and, of course, all other sports, you want to go to BetOnline.ag. That's the only one place you should go that has you covered, and the one place that we trust here at the Locked On NBA Network, which is the Locked On Network itself. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. NFL games are there, college games there, all the headlines and sports are there. You want to go there right now. Again, that's betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports books expert. And go visit our good friends and exclusive partner on Twitter at betonline_ag. To take advantage of the best bonuses in the business, sign up for a free account and use that promo code Locked On for your sign-up bonus. That hashtag is BetOnline. We are back, and I'm joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. So the Spurs have lost four games straight. And, okay, let's start off with this. The schedule didn't help. It's not helping. I mean, you start off this season playing against the Clippers, not once, but twice, playing against a Jazz team, playing against a Pelicans team.
Playing against the Lakers, Lakers, you mean, back-to-back.
Yeah, thank you. Playing against the Pelicans team that's ahead of the curve, so to speak. They're learning curve. They're ahead of the game.
Right.
And it happens. And look, the Spurs started off 2-0, and that was great, but reality is slowly starting to set in. So, and it's not going to get easier. We said in the first segment, they got some tough teams ahead as well. The Lakers are also ahead on this road trip that they're going to go on. We're seeing exactly the development process. But you look at this four-game losing streak, Casey. Is there something that you can point to and say, you know what, this is why they're going through this?
Injuries, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of creating a void on the depth thing. I think that's a big reason why. If it's the difference between them being 2-4 or 5-1, I don't think it's that big of a difference. But I think the depth aspect of things certainly is hurting them right now. But again, I don't think that's ultimately the difference of what it is, what they are. I mean, we know what they are. We've already said it X many times on today's program. We said it that many times beforehand. I mean, this is the Spurs. This is what they are this year. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, largely, not really. No. All right.
Well, you look at some numbers in the last four games. It's not too terrible. And I know the big number that is more important are wins versus the losses in the win-loss column. But in the last four games, so basically what's going on in their four-game losing streak. So they're shooting 43% from the field. It's not bad, you know.
No, that
could be better.
You can win games.
You can win games
it's
with
not
that.
Great.
So from the three-point line, they're shooting 35%. They're making 10 a game in the last four outings. They're rebounding at 44 a game. They're one of the better teams when it comes to assists. They're 24.3 assists per game in the last four, which is basically the four-game losing streak. they're turning the ball over 11.5 times a game. Again, not terrible. They got steals are 7.3 per game in their losing streak, and they're averaging 6.5 blocks per game. But when it comes down to it, they're plus minus. They're getting blown out. Well, they're not blown out, but at least they're losing by double figures, minus 11. To me, Casey, when I look back at this four-game losing streak, sometimes I think it's just the better team is just winning. That's what it comes down to. Just these are the better right. teams of the league, and they're just winning. Look at the game versus the Lakers, the second game, where the Spurs were really taking it to the Lakers. I was proud of them. They didn't back down to the champs. But at the end of the game, the Lakers just out-executed them, outsmarted them, and they got the W. Same thing with the first mm-hmm. meeting against the Lakers. Spurs were in there kind of, sort of, more so, well, lesser than they were in the second game. But nevertheless, they were still there with them, at least towards the end of that fourth quarter. And then you saw the Lakers be the Lakers and LeBron James be LeBron James and take over and get the W. It seems to me, Casey, this team definitely has the fight. They are competitive, maybe not against the Jazz, but for the most part, they're just going to have to learn. And I think that's what you're looking at right now. I think the next time, well, wouldn't be surprised if you and I hook up for the next Lockdown Spurs and we're talking about a 6 or 7 game losing streak. And we'll still probably see similar numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll be looking at a plus minus, and it's still that, you know, doubled figures. So again, not bad numbers, but. Yeah, they're just getting out executed. Right.
And I think at a certain point, I can't put a finger on exactly when, being that it's only 6 games, but at a certain point, the conversation will shift from them going out and losing, and we'll get rid of the plus minus and all those things mm-hmm. that you just threw our ways won't necessarily be applicable anymore, because they're going, like, we know they're going to lose games. They're going to lose a lot of games. And I think at a certain point, the focus will turn to the positive signs you get out of this, finding the identity with with this team mm-hmm. and figuring out what they are and slowly trying to determine that identity for this bunch. I don't know when that's going to happen. It's through 6 games. It probably mm-hmm. tell you that it's probably going to happen sooner before later. Especially the way that they looked last night, but it's going to change that. And it's all part of the process, dude. That's yep. it, you know?
Trust the process is now in San Antonio. It was in Philadelphia. Now it's moving to San Antonio. But here's the thing, though. You know, you look at during the Tim Duncan era, the Big Three era, it was always what the Spurs will out-execute you at the end. They'll get you in the end. You'll be with them competitively till the end. And now tables have turned. Teams are now getting the Spurs out executing them. But look, this is a very young team. So, again, looking at the 4-game losing streak, so what are the opponents doing? So, what are they doing good, you know, versus your silver and black? Well, this is where it all goes downhill. They're hitting a 43. Yeah, they're hitting a 43.5% shooting from the 3-point line. So, they're lighting it up. They're averaging about. See here, 114.5 points per game in the last four versus the San Antonio Spurs. And they're just overall shooting 47%. Close percentages, but again, it goes down to the fact that they're just facing teams that are just better than them. Will it even out? Sure. You know, the schedule does get easier at some point, but this is, we're seeing a very young Spurs team go through a non-bubble situation. It's not controlled as much as it was in the bubble. It was great, right? To not have to travel in Orlando, not have to worry about back-to-backs, mm-hmm. not have to worry about injuries, you know, to a certain degree, not have to worry about anything. And now they're having to go through all this. And now they're going against teams that, you know, want to defend their title. In the bubble, you know, the Lakers were pretty much a lock. They were in the playoffs. They could have just coasted until the playoffs started. The Spurs were fighting for a play-in tournament game against teams that are at their level. Now they're playing against teams that are bringing it every day. Again, something they didn't experience in the bubble. The bubble was great. It was a great 8 games for them to get familiar with the game. But now they're in it for real. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't know if you're watching Cobra Kai on Netflix. But
I am not. I hear great things about
it. It's awesome. But
I see great things on social, mainly from you.
Sorry about that. But
mainly from you.
Mr. Miyagi, the character, you know, kind of the mentor.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Know,
he tells young Danielson, you know, in Karate Kid Part 2, when Daniel is about to have a fight to the death. And he looks at Daniel and he says, hey, this isn't a tournament anymore. This is real. You know, the same thing can apply to the Spurs here. This ain't the bubble anymore. This is real. This is a season. We're going. Yeah.
No, it's true.
This is where my nerddom and Spurs comes together and it works. So,
right.
Casey, you know, a 4-game losing streak, you know, it sucks for any team, whether they're young, old, veteran in the middle, whatever. But I think for the Spurs team, I'm okay with it. I think that Spurs have to just be okay with it, because you will hope that these losses and these losing streaks and win streaks that are on the horizon too will get better. And worst case scenario, Casey, hey, you know, at least you get Luka Samardzic out there, get some run, and Trey Jones. I mean, that was a benefit against the Utah game. But
no, man.
Yeah, I mean,
poor Luka. Like, you want to find like some kind of positive or some kind of feel good to come out of his time, his minutes on the floor, but they're just not there. Like, the minutes aren't even there. You know, no indictment on Drew Eubanks, but Drew Eubanks has had to really work his way into the rotation here, and Luka's many regards, his arm's reach of that, it would appear at least,
mm-hmm.
of Eubanks, at least last season for those last few spots, and at some point it just seems like the divide from Luka to everybody else is just so infinite and never ending, and you just want to see something, but it's kind of like, well, the reason we're not seeing something is the fact, or not the fact, but the potential that there might not be anything to show. You know what I mean? You know, well, it's like you want to see the guy do good, but what has necessarily, from his standpoint as well, is like, what has he shown that he even deserves the minutes on the floor right now?
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I turned your witty one-liner into like a full soliloquy about Luka Samardzic over here. Sorry.
All right. Well, let's hear what Popovich has to say about, this early season schedule and these young Spurs.
It's good for them. I mean, it's not good for the record, but it's good for our basketball team as far as long-term is concerned. And as the season goes along, you know, it's the first 7 out of 10 games to start out or against playoff teams. And we're going to be on the road here for about 9 or 10 days. So it's a tough start, you know, for those young guys. But they'll benefit from it in the long run.
And there it is right there. That is the season in a nutshell. You don't have to play the rest of the games, Casey. That's it. This is the Spurs season. So Spurs fans, if Pop recognizes it, hey, I think it's time y'all do too.
It's my old adage. My old adage. If we see it, they see it. Gonna coin that.
I think
so
you
much,
should.
I feel like on the show, man.
You really, really right? should.
But it's true, though. Like it's true. You know, we're not as much as we like to think. Not as much me. I kind of came to this realization a while ago that I'm not. But as much as we like to think we have more answers than the coaching staff and the organization about how to run the damn team, we don't. We don't. You know, it's our job to sit back and express how we feel and all that fun stuff and be a Twitter GM and stuff like that. But they knew a year ago that this thing was trending downwards and that the rebuild was here. They knew that. They were just trying to maximize what they had. One last run with Aldridge and DeRozan. I mean, they're paying them, might as well try it to do that at that point. But it's like they know what it is. And what they are is a team in transition, and there are going to be nights like last night that we saw and throughout the year where, and Pop just essentially said it himself, is that you're not focusing on win-loss, how you're getting better, how you're getting worse with these young guys. What are we learning that can benefit us with Keldon Johnson's game in 2021-22. What are we learning about Lonnie Walker's game that might be detrimental to him in 21-22? How do we fill that
right
point, that asset next year? I mean, this whole season is just going to be a matter of answering those questions. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear a lot of what Pop said right there. That's going to, I don't want to say a recycled answer, but that's almost going to kind of be a recycled answer throughout the season, because it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, what else is he going to say?
You know? Yeah. And credit him, you know, after losses, at least in the last four games, post game, he hasn't really been, you know, grumpy Pop. You know, he's kind of been, you know, not to say lighthearted about it, but, you know, fair with the media, you know. And I think he understands that we're trying to struggle as well. How do you talk about something that we know, which is his young team? So he's been kind of rolling with punches, too. I give him credit. But I'm going to read you some numbers here, Casey, what's been going on in the last four games. And tell me if you're surprised by this. So in the last four games, the Spurs... 29% of their points is coming from three pointers. Okay. 29% of their points come from 3-point shots. Okay.
Okay.
Or makes in this case. Sorry. 12% of their points are coming from the 2-point mid range. They need to flip that. They need to say, okay, let's go back to our bread and butter. What do we know that works? And yeah, largely that's probably because LaMarcus Aldridge is not out there. But, I mean, DeMar, you know, I think DeMar needs to just start taking over some of the games sometimes. Maybe that's the coaching move. Maybe they're telling DeMar, hey, you know, let these kids learn. Just let them go, you know. But there's a factor there. Then you look at that and you're saying, okay, well, if you thought perimeter defense was an issue, you know, maybe another issue on the offensive end is 3-point shooters. They don't really have that right now.
They're really sounding super conducive to the present game, right? they're not hitting threes, and they're not guarding the guys on the other team who hit the threes, which are like the two most essential things to the league in 2021. You know, we're really like painting the broad stroke of success over here. a rough week at the office, but that's...
Yeah, and then they're only getting 13% of their offense on fast break points right now in the last four. So
that, I thought that was troubling, that stat that you said earlier. They only had 9 points off 19 turnovers.
Yeah.
In the Jazz game last night. I thought that was a little concerning.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought that was a little concerning.
The Jazz is coughing up the ball how much, and you don't capitalize on that. That was just really, really frustrating. I mean, you're seeing the Jazz turn it left and right, turn it off. And at one point, you're like, okay, fine, Spurs, you know, credit you. You're causing those turnovers. Great, but get something with it. So, Casey, I'm going to send you something so you can look at right now.
Okay.
Want to check that out. And those are the numbers where the point distribution is going in the last four games for San Antonio. So you can see it yourself there. That looks kind of lopsided. Yeah, I think this
is a little lopsided.
Yeah, the Spurs need to be more of a balanced team. This is just the offensive numbers. So on the offense, they need to be more balanced. So I showed it to you right now. I shared you the information right now. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, like I get what you're saying, but the league is not about that balance anymore. You know what I mean?
But I know the league isn't, but this team needs to be. They don't have great 3-point shooters. I mean, Mills is one of the better ones. Derek White was emerging as one, but he's banged up. LMA, you know, he's banged up, and he wanted to commit to it.
So you're saying for the sake of, like, what they have on the roster, being able to put the ball in the basket, I guess. But, like, here's another thing you got to consider, man. Like, what do they have consistently after DeRozan if White and Aldridge are out? Consistently, that you can confidently say.
Keldon and DeMar. And that goes back to what I said in the beginning. That's all they really got right now.
But even then, like Keldon, Keldon's played six games this year that's looked pretty good. At some point, the book's going to be out on Keldon, and he's going to have to adapt. like it's all good and fun to see Keldon throw up the lines that he has over the first 2 weeks of the season, but it's just not realistic to put all your eggs into that basket. It's just not realistic, because he's going to hit a wall. I mean, I think we're all in the same boat that he's better than we thought, and the dude's a real deal. I don't think that's really debatable that much anymore. But what's also not debatable is the fact that this is not going to continue just by pure law of averages of playing a full 82, I guess in this case, 72 game season. But so that what that kind of puts you at, though, there is that DeRozan is the only guy that you know or very confident is at least going to give you some kind of like offensive output regularly. Mm-hmm. And when that's not, you know, but that's not the guy who's this ain't KD or something like that, who's going to be enough to continuously get you those wins. He's the offense. And you wonder now if that's going to kind of be like a thing for them going forward, is that if Aldridge is out and Derek White's out for a longer extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
What? How much do they take a hit offensively?
Yeah.
Like how do they do it? Or how? And I don't know. I don't know what happens after that. It's cool. Like, again, it's cool to think that Keldon would keep it up in that regard. But
I mean, he's just a maniac to do something like that. Like,
he is
play like that for a 72 game season.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, he's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, yeah, I know I really kind of feel like I'm
yeah.
pouring water on Spurs fans, Keldon fire here, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I agree. And then you want to look beyond that and just look as a team, again, looking at what's going on with this team in the last four games. So this is a young team that's supposed to be up and down, north, south, as Pop said. So in the last four, they're averaging about 13.5 fast break points. I thought that'd be higher. The opponents are averaging 19.5 points off fast point break situations. So for a young team to get on the break that they wanted to, you expect a higher point scoring average in that category in the fast breaks. You're not really seeing that, Casey.
No. But that's kind of where they have to make that up for it, though, and get it going in that regard from the offensive standpoint is executing in that fashion. I think it's just what last night showed with this Spurs team. What last night showed is that it revealed that it's very much a confusing product, and it kind of very, and maybe that's not the word I'm looking for, or a product. It showed, here's what I'm looking for. It showed a product that's very, it's very evident that they're going through this transition now. Like, there's going to be moments where you just kind of see a void, what they're trying to do, and then the personnel on the floor for what they have. And we haven't seen it. You know, we this is something that hasn't been seen, and it's part of that transitional process. It just doesn't, it's just not, it's not the norm to have the way they've adapted to this modern fashion, the up-tempo game, when a lot of the guys on the floor who play that, one, are young, two, don't necessarily fit.
Mm-hmm.
The up-tempo yeah. fashion. They're trying. I mean, DeRozan's going out there, he's stretching the floor, he looks good, but you can't put much stock into Jakob Poeltl stretching the floor. They don't really have much of a point guard aside from DeJounte right now that you can put confident minutes in
mm-hmm.
after that to really, you know, make a true impact on the floor. But yeah, this team's a science, yeah. man. This team's a science.
If you wanted, not you, Casey Vieira, but just listeners, if you wanted the young guys to get run, you're getting it. But this is a byproduct of it. They didn't, you know, Lonnie Walker, Keldon Johnson was thrusted into the position that he was in because of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Lonnie Walker just was barely starting to crack that rotation last year during the pandemic season. DeJounte was DeJounte. Luka is still Luka. We don't know what's up with him. Eubanks, same thing. Poeltl was given more time because of a pandemic and the injury to LaMarcus Aldridge and then the bubble play. So if you wanted this, here it is. now this is the ripple effect, and this should be a good thing, not a bad thing. This is a good thing, and as Popovich said, you hope it bears fruit down the road. So
how long do you think this? How long do you think it lasts? Like the consistent, like really legitimately concerning aspect before we switch and we come to like a full on identity acknowledgement of the identity that like we've said this team wasn't going to be very good, and like we realized, okay, like they're not very good, you know. What point does that happen?
I think there's still some hope they'll get it together. You heard from Lonnie right now, he's not worried. Pop, you know, seems to be, I guess, okay with losing, but based on what he said, because, you know, he wants it to bear fruit later on. But I think as the casual Spurs fan, you either have to accept it now, or if you want to put a timeline on it to where you accept it, I would say maybe after this road trip, because they're already, two and four? They could be 2-8, you know, and in a shortened season.
Oh, they could very easily lose every one of these games.
They can.
I don't think they will. I think they'll take one of the Minnesota games, one of the three between the two Minnesota and OKC. I think they'd go 1-4 on this thing.
I don't know. Did I say
two of the three or one of the three?
I'll give them two because I'm the optimist. I'll give them two.
Okay. Point being, though, they're not going to come back on a winning stretch. We can both agree there, right?
Yes.
Okay. They're not going to come back to winners of 3 and 5 here. We can find the middle ground there.
What's your record for them coming back to San Antonio after 5-game roadie? You got them at what? They're 2-4.
That would be 3.
So what have we got?
3-8, right?
3-8.
If they only win 1 of 5, that would mean 3-8. Yeah, yes. 3-8. When they come back for that Houston game in a couple weeks, 14th of January, they'll be 3-8.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
that's where I got them. They're a low average basketball team on the road. Two of them against two top five teams in the league, and then playing two teams on their level on the road.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, fine. They survive the road trip, and then you come back. You got back-to-back against the Rockets.
Back with Houston.
But then you follow that up with a visit to the Trailblazers. And then, okay, maybe you give them the Warriors. Then you got the Mavs and the Wizards.
Steph Curry dropped 62 last night, so we're not giving them the Golden State. Spurs win in 10 games?
I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Again, what, the Pistons game? Maybe I can't even say the Knicks anymore because the Knicks are playing better. Well. Yeah, they're playing well.
You know, you say that kind of tongue in cheek, but like, I mean, already, by the time you get to the Houston game, you're essentially a third of the way through the calendar, just about, and they're at 3-8. So you say, okay, do you win 10 games in this first half? I mean, probably. I don't say that confidently, though.
Yeah. Well,
because it's like the West is tough as it is, but it seems like they're getting all the heavy hitters.
Yeah, they're early, and that's and this early first half, the first half schedule. We don't know what the second half is going to look like yet. That's scary. We don't know what that's going to look like. You figure it's going to be heavy East, just because they're doing a lot of heavy West right now, but. You still don't know. And by the way, they still have a road trip to go through before the first half of the schedule goes in the can. But here's the thing.
That 10-game comment happened like tongue-in-cheek. It might not happen.
But you look at it, you're like, okay. But again, we laugh and, you know, we're joking around right now. But this season, this is what it should be expected. No Spurs fan out there should be surprised if this 4-game losing streak extends to 8, 7, 9, whatever. No surprises. Because
I mean, they lost 8 games in a row when they went on that East Coast swing.
And that's when they were not doing their youth movement.
And that was right. And that was probably a better team than what they have right now. They were not actually trying, I don't want to say trying to lose, but losing being more acceptable, so to speak.
Now, I'm going to be the optimist. I'm going to say that, you know, they'll get more wins I'm trying my best here, Casey.
I'm trying.
Well, just hit the eject cord right now. Hit the eject button right now and get the H out of this segment. Yeah. We're going to come back and when we get back, we're going to shift gears now and talk about some comments from Spurs fans on Twitter about conversation that you just heard right now between Casey and I about Keldon Johnson. So we're going to get some fan react. Well, we're going to get some fan react on Keldon Johnson right now from you, the fan, in just a few minutes. So, but before we do that, let's talk about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors. 6 of them are brand new, such as carrot cake and apple almond crisp. They're great bars. They're covered 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Great for the health conscious person. And if you're on that keto diet, check. It works great for that as well. So what you want to do right now is go to builtbar.com. And when you do that, you get your get yourself a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. And you want to use promo code LOCKEDON. That'll get you 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. We are back, and I am joined by Casey Vieira, San Antonio sports reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. So I put it out there in the Twitterverse about our conversation about KJ and, you know, running or depending on him so much. He's going to hit a wall, whatnot. Well, they had some fan react. I hear what the Spurs fans had to say.
Got a Jimmy C. Fields sighting. I see it right here.
Yes, yes, your guy is on there.
Love me some Jimmy C. Fields. He's great.
Yeah, so he says, quote,
he's usually on point. Like, I'll be fair. He's usually on point. He's way off base, I think, in the idea of not of like wanting to.
Well, let me tell you right now, he listens to every Locked On Spurs.
He does.
Yeah, he does. So he's going to hear this.
Cool. I think he probably heard me initially because I didn't know who he was at first, and I made some kind of witty remark.
Yeah.
And I think I probably annoyed him the first time. but then I learned to know who he was, and then we got to know each other through Twitter, of course.
Well, he got
and
to know you
came to the realist. Yeah, that he's pretty on top of it.
All right. Well, he chimed in on our conversation about KJ and
hit plug for Jimmy C. Fields
in hitting a wall right there. He says, quote, he doesn't have, well, this is from, again, sorry, Jimmy, this is from at Jimmy C. Fields on Twitter. He doesn't have a hit the wall type game. It's not based on finesse or necessarily skill, just toughness, hustle, and grit. Other Spurs fans chimed in. This is from at Drip Daddy Swag. He says, quote, the thing with him, KJ, that worries me, Drip, long-term is that he relies too much on the bully ball and doesn't expand his game offensively. If I were him, I'll add a step back to my game or some jelly around the rim to keep working on that shot. He says that'll make him a good player. And then I responded to Jimmy saying that how KJ seems to feed the team with energy. You know, you can't gas them out. And Jimmy says, exactly. So it seems to me that, at least in this very small sample size, some Spurs fans are seeing that, as you saw, Casey. So that is something to keep an eye on as the season moves on. And you would hope Murray have more Murray games where he's the dominant player, which we've seen so far this season, where he's in triple-double to start one of the first games. So other than that, you know, you're hoping that, you know, maybe LaMarcus Aldridge comes back. Maybe he does something. At least he'll get you some help on the boards. You know, the Spurs are getting outworked on that department. And he'll give you more offensive production than Poeltl's doing right now, that's for sure. So,
yeah,
you want to talk about Poeltl? Go ahead, take it away.
No, it's all right. That's all right.
No, I mean, no. You, before we recorded, you were very vocal about Jakob.
Well, here's my thing with Poeltl, man. Is that the offensive thing is always going to be like the criticism of him and his game and the fact that the bubble, everyone just was so annoyed that he couldn't dunk the ball in that Philly game. It was Philly, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Philly bubble game.
Okay.
Right. And everyone's going to be so, and it's always that kind of like just set the narrative for him forever. But the thing that like bothers me right now with the Poeltl stuff is that he hyped himself up so much. And again, this is we're getting probably way too carried away with six games here, but there was so much, I guess, self-induced hype. I want to test the market. I've done such and such. I think I'm worth X many dollars on the market. There was so much of that. You're like, all right, well, you know what? This dude played halfway decent in the bubble and you know, showed positive signs. And then comes this first week, 2 weeks of the season. It's like, well, where was the improvement? You haven't seen it yet. Yeah. You haven't seen it yet. And again, I mean, we're only a week in, 2 weeks into the year. But, you know, it's been a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
I'm trying. It's been, yes, it's been underwhelming, yes. Yeah, I expected more out of him, and so far,
right?
We haven't had that. And look, minus the Utah game, look at the last, I guess, the first five games for Pirtle's season here in San Antonio. 4.8 points per game in 21.1 minutes, 6.8 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.6 blocks, and made his very first free throw in the first half of the Jazz game. For the season, Casey. So, I mean, underwhelming is, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, well, see, the thing too, another aspect of it is that this is an opportunity for him with Aldridge out to really just take command of this. And just all those things we had been hearing about, just seeing it. Everything that had been so hyped up for however many months had been since he gave that initial interview, it's okay. Well, here you are, Aldridge is out. Let's go. Let's do something. Here you go. You got Rudy Gobert over here. Let's at least hang tough with Rudy Gobert. I mean, Rudy Gobert, what do you have? Like 16, 17 rebounds last
dominating,
night.
Yeah. Dominating that paint.
Yeah. So, maybe it's early. Maybe he set the bar too high for himself, Pirtle, in terms of the way I see it. But right now, it's just kind of been more of the same.
Yeah.
You wanted to believe. But right now, so far, it's just been more of the same.
All right. Well, there you have it. Some final words from Casey Vieira about his favorite player that he's going to get a Fiesta jersey, that being Jakob
Pirtle. I like him, though, man. You know, yeah. It's not like – I mean, he's a cool dude. He's a charming dude, you know.
Yeah, and look,
he's always cool with the media.
Yeah, he's very cool with us. When we talk to him, you know, he wants to give us a good answer. You can hear it in his voice. And at least in some flashes against the Utah Jazz, you saw him be a little aggressive on the offensive end. He was going for his shot. Right. You did see that. Hopefully that trend continues as the season moves on, right. But speaking of moving on,
I'm never rooting for any of these guys to fail. You know,
nor am I. Yeah, I want them to succeed. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, man. I make very cynical, wise ass remarks quite regularly on this program.
You,
but me, who'd have thought? But yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm rooting for any of these dudes to flop. I want to see them well, but let's be real. I mean, when they haven't played well, they haven't played well. What can you say? You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the Spurs' start to the season? 2-4, 4-game losing streak, and it's only getting harder from this point moving forward, at least in the first half of the schedule/season. What do you think about the loss against Utah? Just one of those games that every team will go through, will get their thumping, or is this bigger than that? Also, what do you think about the Spurs in the 4-game losing streak? Are you was this expected? Are you okay with this because it's part of the development, or are you really concerned and there's no way this Spurs team should be on a 4-game losing skid? We need to hear from you. You can let me know on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com and subscribe to Locked On Spurs and the rest of the Locked On NBA network, or just the Locked On network teams, NFL, NBA, MLB, college. You're betting. They got you locked on bets now. You know, it's all there for you at the Locked On NBA and the Locked On Network. Go check it out right now. Casey, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
Follow me on Twitter at Casey_Vieira.
All right. Make sure you do that right now. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.